Hi, welcome to Pulling the Threads, a podcast dedicated to understanding the story behind our clothes. I'm your host, Jancy Quinn, and this podcast will follow my adventures in learning more about sustainable apparel and exploring how we can all have beautiful things without harm.
You know, leaving a net positive impact on the world. That's what I'm seeking through my my own actions and through my career.
Hi, welcome back to part two of my conversation with Jen Swain, Global Head of Sustainability for Burton. I hope you enjoyed part one, where we learned a lot about Burton's impressive sustainability and social initiatives. If you're just joining now, don't worry, you don't need to listen in order. Part one, we really dug into Burton's initiatives and all of the efforts that Jen and her team are leading. In this portion of the episode, I wanted to learn more about Jen's background, her career path, and what she does personally to live a sustainable life. I know you'll love learning a bit more about Jen's background as much as I enjoyed talking with her.
Hi, I'm Jen Swain. I'm the head of sustainability for Burton.
That's a pretty cool company and a pretty cool role. Could you tell me a little bit about your background?
So I joined Burton 3 years ago, and I was brand new to textiles and sports, as well as being at a brand. My interest in corporate social responsibility or sustainability really goes back to the beginning of my undergraduate years in college. And so I've pursued a career in sustainability and was really fortunate to land with Burton a few years ago.
So Jen, I would love to hear more about your career path and how you got to, you know, where you are at Burton. I think, you know, sustainability is kind of an emerging field and maybe the Wild West, and you know, a lot of people are interested in it. So I'd love to just know a bit more about your journey, you know, your education and career path.
Yeah, growing up in Vermont, sustainability was really prevalent throughout the business community, even before, you know, social and environmental responsibility had really been termed sustainability. You know, we're home to Ben and Jerry's, Seventh Generation, Cabot Creamery, a host of other businesses. I think about 1% of all of the B corporations. So it was just, you know, from a very early age, something that I had a high level of awareness of. It almost was like the normal for me. And so those values of community and protecting our environment led me into seeking an environmental science degree in college. But I quickly realized that actually I would like to be working in corporate sustainability to be able to affect change at a scale much greater than my individual self. So I pursued an undergraduate degree in community and international development. And then I went back to UVM, the University of Vermont, for an MBA and a graduate certificate in ecological economics. And at the time, green MBAs, if you will, were just starting to become available. But I decided to pursue a conventional MBA because I was most interested in understanding how those who were in leadership positions at large corporations had been trained for their business roles. So I wanted to understand really how to present the business case for sustainability in the language that would resonate. So through those three degrees, I really saw it as putting together the three legs of the sustainability stool, if you will, the social, economic, and environmental. My first job, kind of as I was finishing grad school, I had an internship for 8 months as a sustainability analyst. So I was looking at large publicly traded corporations and assessing them against a variety of criteria to determine whether they could fit into the lens of a sustainable mutual fund. So determining whether they had certain practices, you know, related to trading in alcohol or financing fossil fuel drilling, that would, you know, exclude them from our portfolio, but also rating them to say, like, how far are you taking your responsibility efforts? Are you a company that we want to invest further in or start to downtrend? So that was my first role, really working in the corporate sustainability realm. From there, I went to Washington, D.C. at the World Wildlife Fund. And I was a researcher on their supply chain analysis team. And I was looking you know, taking that shift from looking at a whole company, large publicly traded companies in the sustainable investing world, to looking at supply chain practices. So agricultural practices in areas throughout the world. So for instance, looking at practices related to coconuts in Sri Lanka, and looking through the lens of, again, social, environmental, economic, and political or governance issues in the country, and saying, you know, is this a stable investment? And are the practices that are being conducted on the ground deemed responsible? So that was interesting because it was within a large nonprofit, but it was within their corporate engagement arm. So working with large corporations that were interested in preferred sourcing. And then I always had an interest in working in certification. You know, the last 20 years of sustainability have really been driven by product certification. We're starting to see a shift where the expectation now is that sustainability is really embodied throughout a whole company, but certification is still an important part of that. And so I went to the Rainforest Alliance, and I worked within their Forest Stewardship Council team as an auditor and an account manager. And that was an incredible experience, especially still being kind of young in my career, because I was able to work with companies in the wood and paper industry, from single owner operator loggers all the way up the supply chain to major Fortune 500s. And to really get a window into not just what was driving their commitment to certification, you know, was it coming from the consumer? Was it a values-based business decision? But also really seeing how sustainability was integrated and implemented within their company. So what was their management system like? What was their reporting? And so through that experience, I both got the very technical part of implementing sustainability standards, but also the business perspective. And a few years into that role, I got a call from Allie Kenny at Burton and was really excited to step into the textile and sporting gear industry here at Burton, where I've been for about 3 years now.
I love hearing about the three-pronged approach. It definitely shows just your commitment to sustainability and that you were able to bring, you know, such, you know, broad expertise to Burton, I'm sure to make you so valuable and help them to consider so many different initiatives and paths that they could help make a difference. I'd love to know your thoughts from a standpoint of, you know, someone starting out in this area. Maybe it's a career pivot, or, you know, newly out of school, or maybe even just like rethinking where they want to put their energy. Do you have any thoughts for somebody, you know, starting out on the sustainability path?
The great thing about sustainability is the lens can be applied to all parts of a business, and it's industry agnostic. So whether you're in a role with a company that you're very happy with, you can seek opportunity to advance their practices and kind of grow your own role and responsibilities, like Allie did at Burton. She was able to, you know, envision kind of her next role within the company and kind of pitch that up to Donna. But also if you're just coming, you know, from the angle of really wanting to make a career shift, a fairly large one, or coming out of a degree program, acknowledging as well that sustainability is a very broad field. And so there's a lot of opportunity to define not only what issues you want to be working on, what your values most align with, but also the kind of day-to-day work that you want to be doing. Because very often, you know, in smaller companies, there isn't necessarily going to be a dedicated sustainability role, but there's increasingly, you know, integrated with the supply chain team. Part of the role might be to ensure responsible practices in that work. And there's also a lot of opportunity, I think, you know, if you're seeking kind of that broader high-level lens, to consider opportunities with consulting firms. So if you don't necessarily want to be working within one industry, you can seek an opportunity where you can, you know, jump in to a project for, you know, 3 months to a year or something, and then shift gears and try something new, and it really keeps it interesting. So I think, you know, the exciting thing about sustainability is that We're never going to hit that, like, that absolute state of perfection. There's always going to be opportunity for progress within any company, any industry. And I think that we're just really seeing an opportunity right now when people are, you know, expecting that businesses are doing better for the world and that they're really engaging beyond their own doors for more people to get involved in sustainability work.
You know, you have 3 degrees, which is so impressive. Do you have any thoughts on, you know, a specialized degree in sustainability versus experience in sustainability?
The world of education has evolved so much even since I was in school. You know, I think that there's a lot of opportunities if you're seeking formal education in sustainability to get a degree that is a certification rather than going for instance, a full master's where you're spending 2 years full time in school. There's also a lot of interesting accelerated programs where if you have the time and space, if you have the ability, you know, to be pretty independent and travel somewhere for a year, there's a lot of accelerated programs that are quite valuable as well, including the Sustainable Innovation MBA that's at the University of Vermont now. So I think that, you know, it's going to vary by a bit by job type, by industry and what you're interested in. But I think so much of the work can be learned through these, you know, new forms of formal education and increasingly, you know, through less formal medium as well online. So I would say, you know, one of the best things that you can do is reach out and seek to engage with those who are already doing work that you're interested in and learn from them about their own career path and kind of get the inside scoop.
Your education is in sustainability. Your career is all around sustainability. But you mentioned, you know, it's part of your life as well. I'd love to just know, what are some things that you do personally to help reduce your own impact?
I feel very fortunate to have the ability to do things like lobby at the state and federal level through my position. But really, our elected officials should be hearing from everyone. It's every time we have a conversation with a legislator, they tell us we need to hear more from the constituents about what matters. So I think really, truly, especially this year in the U.S., one of the biggest actions that anyone can take is to really speak up, to write, call, or even set up an appointment and visit their elected officials to tell them why climate change matters to them and to ask them what they're doing about it. And to ensure that you're really aligning your vote with your values, whatever those are. And then on a very, you know, personal level, day to day, you know, eating a plant-rich diet. So eating a local diet. I'm so fortunate to be here in Vermont where, you know, in the winter, it's a little bit harder to find local fresh vegetables, but we really have a wealth of agriculture in this state. And to ensure that, you know, you're managing food waste well. Composting is increasingly available in communities throughout the U.S. and other parts of the world. And so making sure that it's even those little things that you're taking steps toward. And then, of course, you know, reducing the amount that you drive. So again, I'm fortunate to live a few miles from work and along a nice lakeside bike path. But the commute becomes one of the best parts of my day to walk or bike to work when I'm able to. And so I think, you know, just being mindful, I think a fear of imperfection often holds people back from action. So just start taking steps, make those choices when you're able to. And I think that if anything, you know, again, if we look at this time that we're all living through right now, we are able to take action as individuals that have a positive impact on the community around us.
I love that. Thank you. Quick question too. I love to just know, like, how do you define sustainability?
My personal definition is essentially, you know, leaving a net positive impact on the world. That's what I'm seeking through my my own actions and through my career.
Thanks for tuning in to my latest adventure in understanding the story behind the clothes we wear. I truly believe we can have beautiful things without harm.
Thank you again to Jen Swain for your time and dedication to a sustainable career and life. Check out Burton.com for more information about their sustainability efforts through the pillars of people, playground, and products. See their progress at Burton.com and on Instagram at Burton. Thanks again.
If you liked this episode, don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review. As always, the story continues on our Instagram page at It Matters Wear, WEAR. Give us a follow and join the conversation. Join us next time as we continue our exploration behind the scenes and pull the threads on the stories behind our clothing.